I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to I'm Listening, the second Frasier podcast of its kind. I won't tell you what the first one is. As always, we have a special guest with every episode, and today is no different. Today we have one of my favorite comedians, writers, really does it all, in my opinion. I was going to call her an entrepreneur, but I don't know. She's not an entrepreneur. Please welcome Jenny Jaffe to the podcast. Welcome, Jenny. How are you today?
I'm good. It's good to talk to you.
Yes, I'm very excited to talk to you, especially because if it doesn't surprise you, I do love my male fans and guests, but I do love talking to women that like Frasier. And it turns out there's a lot more than I realized.
Yeah, it's got sort of like this... I don't want to say cult following because it was so popular, but it's got a following of people who are really too young to be watching it when it was on.
Absolutely.
Which is great.
Yeah. I'm curious, as I always want to know about everybody that I talk to, how did you get into Frasier? Did you start watching it when it was on Netflix, repeats?
I watched it when it was on because my parents watched it, and I would have been like 7 or something. Yep. When it came out. And mm-hmm. I remember that my best friend in first grade, who's we're still best friends, but we met in first grade, and we both had Baby G watches that we set to go off at 7 p.m. when Frasier reruns would come on. And the thing is, like, I again was pretty young. I like don't know what appealed to me so much about the show, because there's no way I got the jokes.
Sure.
I think it just like it they were like two guys who like seemed they acted weird they were too weird acting guys. Yes. Like, I'm trying to think, because it's not like I related to their like weird like pseudo cosmopolitan like sort of one-upsmanship with each other or whatever. Like, there's no like theme of the show that I could possibly have related to.
Sure.
But they talked funny and there was a dog. So and then later in life, yeah, I rewatched and I was like, this is great.
Yeah. I mean, I similarly to you also watched it with my parents, and I was also very young when it was on. And I also know that I didn't understand the jokes, but I at least at that age recognized, similarly, because I also watched Seinfeld, that, or like with Kramer, like I recognized what I considered a goofy character earlier on.
Yeah, exactly.
And I thought they were goofy. And then, you know, as you get older, especially you're writing and doing comedy, then I was like, oh my God, the writing is so good.
Yeah. Well, now, like, that's the thing is I went back and I was like, this is completely brilliant. But at the time I was, it's just like, you know, heightened characters and they made funny faces. And but like I grew up and like I like got to do the sort of Netflix reappraisal of it and mm-hmm. and was just like really floored by like very, very tight sitcom writing. And the other thing that happened when I got older is I got very obsessed with Kelsey Grammer as just sort of like a figure.
Really?
Like I read his autobiography, which I really recommend if
What's
you have
called?
Not. It's called So Far. And it's truly remarkable. There's a Jezebel article that has some pretty choice excerpts in it.
Yeah.
One thing that always sticks out at me is that there's a part where he talks about his rivalry with Moose, the dog who played Eddie.
Oh my gosh.
And he was bitter that Moose would get treats after every take, whereas he had to be a professional actor who knew his lines.
Uh-huh.
He's just the weirdest. He's just like the strangest man alive. He like,
wow,
a lot of weird murders happened in his family.
Yeah.
Which he considers about as in the book. It's like, I've had many interesting things happen in my life. I witnessed the murder of my family. I acted on stage alongside Mandy Patinkin. Like, oh, he's Lord. Just, it's, his priorities are very, it's a fantastic book. There's a part where he wonders if he might be Jesus. It truly, I can't recommend it highly enough. And he does have an audiobook where he reads it.
Wow.
It's great.
All right, it's on my list. I think also it's time for me to move out of the genre that I seem to be stuck on, which is crime novels about women that murder or get murdered.
Oh,
or both.
Sure. Oh, same. So did you just read I'll Be Gone in the Dark?
No, but it's next. Oh, well, unless I read Frasier's biography.
Honestly,
but I heard it's
do
great.
Do it as a double, as like a back-to-back.
Yeah.
I do that too. I had been listening to a lot of crime podcasts. But then I had to stop because I like on my way to work it was fine, but then when I would drive home, it would get dark and I'd be like way too freaked out.
Yeah, I bet. So. I think as a rule, I'd probably, and I do the same thing now, is sometimes I am a fan of horror movies and I want to watch them with people, but if I can't, if something's too scary, I like to save it for the daytime.
Yeah.
Whether it's a crime show, a horror movie, or a crime podcast, because nothing bad happens during the day.
Right.
That's what I tell myself
that too. I also tell myself like, oh, if I'm like watching TV in the background for some reason, that'll... like a serial killer would come in, they'd be like, oh, she's watching reruns of 30 Rock. Like, we can't murder her now. Like,
exactly. Leave. You know what? This is a good time to bring up that in a earlier podcast when I did an episode with Josh Gondelman,
uh-huh.
we talked about Frasier fan fiction, which is a fun hole to fall into.
Wait,
when
how much of it is there?
There's so much that you couldn't even scratch the surface, like, in a day.
What's the most popular... kind or
so,
subject.
So what I found out about is there was a really great article actually about this guy who's like our age who started like a GeoCity style Angel Fire website when he was really young, where he started writing entire episodes of the show while it was still on. It's not in front of me right now, but I can send you the article. I think it was from Ranker, and it like went into like there were like links to this particular person who who used to write all of these spinoffs and then other just fanfics that people would write on message boards, which all continue to live on the internet.
Oh, so, I am so excited to do a deep dive into this.
I will absolutely send it your way. I'll make a note. Send Jenny fan Frasier fan fiction. So part of what we did during that episode is I made up a bunch of spinoffs and pitched them to Josh, and the one he liked the most, which I think you'll like, was called Young Martin, which was my thought that it's pre-Frasier and Niles, and it's Martin while he's still a detective, perhaps when he's just met his future wife, and she's like she's a psychologist. They met over a chalk outline of a body, and I feel like that could be a great show for CBS.
That would be honestly amazing.
One day, I hope.
I love that. I've never watched Cheers, which is somewhat shameful.
Me neither. You are not alone.
Okay, and good.
There's more than a few of us. There's an episode I recorded with Kevin Secchia, who's a TV writer, and he loves Cheers, and we were sort of trying to convince each other. He doesn't really watch Frasier, so we tried to convince each other to watch each other's favorite shows. I don't know. I'm not in the mindset yet. I feel like I need to – my whole thing is watching shows that are more than, like, four seasons. I need to be out of commission. Like, I've just had a surgery or I'm unemployed, and then that's when I'll have the time to watch 11 seasons of Cheers.
So I always tell myself, like, okay, next time I get sick, I'm going to, like, watch this show, and then I just, like, end up rewatching something I've already watched or a bunch of YouTube videos or something.
Absolutely, and often in my case, Frasier.
Yes.
Before we get to sort of today's topic, I am curious, do you have like a favorite character from Frasier or anyone that you now in your life relate to character-wise on the show?
Yeah, I think I love Niles a lot.
Yes.
A lot. Mm-hmm. I always have. Mm-hmm. There's like a kind of there's an anxiousness to him that I relate to quite a bit.
Sure.
And like Frasier's kind of got more of a like an ego, I guess, that he like kind of doesn't realize how neurotic he is, or he can like hide it a little bit more.
Absolutely. But
Niles is like just the uncool parts of Frasier.
Sure.
If that makes sense. They're both uncool. They're both like deeply uncool, but always sort of related to him. Something that I just remembered is that there was an episode of Frasier where like Niles somehow ends up at a basketball game and they have like one of those free throw challenges at
I remember.
I almost said intermission, which says a lot about me, at halftime.
Yeah.
And he sinks the ball. If that's he makes the basket.
I remember.
And
by accident. Yes.
And the next day after it aired, so I played basketball in elementary school. Somewhat misguidedly. I'm not athletic. And I got fouled and I got to do a free throw. And like in my head, I was like, oh, Niles did it. So I'm going to do it. And I did it. And I won the game for my team. And it was on my 10th birthday. And I was like the happiest.
Wow.
It was like my one sports victory. And I wrote a fan letter to David Hyde Pierce to tell him about it.
Oh, my God. Do you still have it?
I don't, unfortunately. I don't remember.
It was a long time ago.
It was. I don't think I ever got a response. But
that's amazing.
If I ever meet him. Yeah. So that's like, but, and so I love Niles. And I love Roz. I think she's very badass.
Roz is great.
She puts up with a lot.
She does. I'm just slightly curious. Is this something like writing fan letters? It's not something I ever did. Did you do this for other people that you like too?
No, the only person I wrote a fan letter to was David Hyde Pierce. And then like years later, which is like so dorky. And then years later, I'm pretty sure I wrote a fan letter to Tony Shalhoub because I have OCD, as I think you know.
Yes.
And Monk was a show that meant a lot to me because it came out like around the time that my OCD was the worst, and it was like very helpful in helping kind of the other people in my life understand what was going on. And also it just like was comforting to me that I was like, oh, like he's got this same thing that I do, but he's like got a successful career. And like, I don't know. It was helpful at the time. And it was also a very gentle show, which I needed. So those are the two fan letters I've ever written.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's very, I mean, that's so Jenny. Like, I love that.
Thank you so much. We
haven't talked in a while, and it's great. But like, what a great combo. For a second, I thought you were going to say, because it's weird. So I didn't, I still haven't really watched Monk, but I know him from the show Wings,
which was a show.
And like that was like another actual very popular Tony Shalhoub character. But either way, you could have said Wings and I would have been like, sure.
Or Galaxy Quest. He's very good in Galaxy Quest.
He is great. And you know what? It's nice to hear that Tony Shalhoub and David Hyde Pierce are getting these letters, because I always assume those are not the people I think of getting fan mail.
Definitely not from like young girls.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Very young girls.
You know, I think of like, you know, Chris Evans and like Avengers getting lot of fan mail. We need more character actors getting fan mail.
Speaking of which, my boyfriend just told me this, that there was, I guess, some interview with the writers of the new Avengers movie. Mm-hmm. And they compared Doctor Strange and Tony Stark in it to Niles and Frasier.
What?
Because they said like, I don't know if you've seen it. This isn't really a spoiler.
Oh, good. Okay. I know people will be angry.
Yeah, this isn't a spoiler. They just said that they're like, the way they kind of bicker is like modeled sort of after how Frasier and Niles like are so similar that they see the annoying things about themselves and each other.
Well, that makes me want to see the movie.
It made so much sense after I saw it, because it usually in a show, and I think Martin does this for them, but usually in a sitcom you would have two polar opposites who are coming into conflict, but I think it's so much more interesting to have two people who are very similar. I think that's why most siblings don't get along, not because they're like so dissimilar, but because they are so similar.
Yeah, and they also know how to push each other's buttons.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm an only child.
Yeah,
so I think a lot of what I saw of siblings apparently came from that show, which I liked, because I did like that they're like best friends. I thought that was
nice. It's really nice. It's something I think this all the time about Bob's Burgers too, which is that a lot of times on shows where there's siblings, it feels like they came from totally different parents. Like it's Bart and Lisa. It's weird that they were raised in the same house. You know, they're totally different, but like, The Belcher kids, like they're all weirdos. Like they all weird in like this sort of similar way. And I think that's so smart. And that's what Frasier and Niles are too.
I was gonna say, if you ever find the letter in a box somewhere,
I will.
Please,
I don't know if my mom has a copy, but it's. I remember like going on her laptop with her, and we looked up how do we send a fan letter? Which it's so funny that this was the case. I hope someday our paths cross, and I get to. I get to say that I've been lucky enough to have a couple instances where I've gotten to like really tell people, you know, what their work meant to me, and I think these are this is a particularly specific incident. So,
well, also fortunately, as far as like the actors themselves go, he is not a nut, I don't think, compared to Kelsey Grammer, who I don't think I would want to run into him, you know.
No, Kelsey Grammer is a lot. I really recommend this book.
Yeah, I'm gonna read it for sure.
It's so fascinating. Truly, I've never seen somebody so out of touch
yeah
with I mean, any with any kind of reality.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's in the book or it might be a different one. But I did find some excerpts of like some writers and or producers on the set of the show talking about what it was like working with him when he was like doing a lot of drugs. So I'm sure that like he definitely did a lot of cocaine. I believe he was an alcoholic at some point. So yeah, I need to read the book and then I'll just understand him, or maybe not. But
I'll come back to the book club episode where we talk about So Far by Kelsey Grammer.
I'm going to write book club down because I do like to, I mean, I want to get as specific as possible. There's just a lot. It's 11 seasons. There's a lot to explore. Book club episode. Okay. So I pitched you a few things that I thought would be interesting to get into. And one thing that I have not gotten into at all in any of the other episodes that I've done is Roz, a focus on Roz. And then also Daphne, because when I think of Roz, I think of how different Daphne is. I think about how different their storylines in terms of their romantic lives, kind of the directions that they went off of. And then I thought of the Madonna whore complex, which, to be completely honest, I kind of knew what it meant. And then I looked it up. So for any of our listeners who aren't sure, I have pulled up an excerpt from Wikipedia. So take that as you will in terms of the research that I've done. But this psychological complex is said to develop in men who see women as either saintly Madonnas or debased prostitutes. The man categorizes, talking about this particular man who does this, the man categorizes women into two groups, women he can admire and women he finds sexually attractive, whereas the man loves women in the former category, he despises and devalues the latter group. So that did make me think of Roz and Daphne. I would like to say I do love Daphne as a character as well, just in a very different way. So you're a fan of Roz. I think you said
I am a fan of Roz. Yeah. I love Daphne too. She's so weird.
Sure.
The show's attitude towards Daphne, I think, evolves a lot over time. I think she's sort of like more bubble headed towards the beginning of the show. And then she becomes more of like a moral center. And I think Roz also like, there's a whole lot of slut shaming around Roz, but she sort of becomes like someone who really evens out Frasier, and like who obviously they have a very close relationship.
For sure. Go ahead. You first.
But I think there is a lot of like, the show presents a lot of like dichotomies of like the kind of women that Frasier always ends up dating versus like Lilith or, Maris, who is very much Daphne's opposite. It's a lot of like, I think that's less like pitting women against women than it is like sitcom character wheel stuff.
Sure.
Because I think that's the same with their male characters too. The only difference is that Frasier dates as much as Roz does, maybe more.
He dates a lot, you know, and you bring me to a good thing that I wanted to mention here, and I should look up Frasier on this. But so I wanted to see if I could find, was there anywhere on the internet that was like cataloging like Roz's love life in the show? Because the more I've sort of dug deeper and deeper into specific things that I want to know about from the show, the more I find out I'm not alone in my curiosity. And so I found this website So it's oocities.org, but somebody made a page called Roz's Love Life. And this is absolutely insane. They essentially compiled an entire list matched with this episode on any guy she's slept with, dated, had a crush on, had a bad date with. And so I counted all of them and it came to 99. I do wish that I had that number for Frasier, but I'm sure it matches up, or like you said, probably even more so, because she mentions that, like, there's just even a lot of of times on the show where she ends up reminiscing about like a bad date she had, or like, or there was like a time where she talks about the summer of Tag, Tab, and Tad, like when she dated three different guys who had almost the same name in the same summer. So there's like a lot of, similarly to Daphne, who doesn't necessarily talk about all the men she's dated, but does make reference to her former life, and it's often about her family. So that's something I wanted to mention this to you, and I don't know if it's something that is just coincidental, but I was thinking about the fact that Roz, at the end of the show, and I don't think a lot of – I never saw it as a bad thing, but she doesn't end up with any guy at the end. I don't know if you remember how it ends, but she – the whole show ends with her getting promoted to station manager, and, like, you know, she's left some relationship, and she's, like, a single, independent, working woman. Daphne gets her sort of, you know, happy ending. She gets it pretty early on. But then I was thinking about their upbringings, because Roz mentions how she had this, like, really lovely, innocent, like, time growing up in Wisconsin.
And
and she has this great mom. And then Daphne, when you think of everything she mentions, you kind of figure out through the entire show, her father's an alcoholic. Her mom is, like, pretty cruel and says horrible things to her.
Her grandma's a witch, maybe.
Her grandma's a witch, and says things like, there'll be no Brussels sprouts in hell. And she has, like, 10 brothers, and most of them are horrible.
Right.
And yet, you know, I don't know. I feel like she did have a happy ending.
Well, maybe it is, like, the thing that she was trying to achieve was like a stable family, and she got that. And then the thing Roz was trying to achieve was sort of like breaking out of the nuclear family model. And she got, I mean, I think it's very cool that Roz is like sort of this like high powered lady.
For sure.
Like, she's definitely like the coolest, like in the same way that I feel like we all look back on Sex and the City and we're suddenly like, wait, like Miranda's the best one. Like, yeah. I think it's the same thing where like, you get a little older and you're suddenly like, oh, like I want to be the person who's like very secure and like independent and
absolutely
100% my own person before anybody else comes into the picture. You know, like I think that's maybe Roz. Like, she's very unapologetic, which is absolutely cool.
And she always has like, you know, the best comebacks and the snappiest lines. Also, I thought it was interesting that she gets along, like, she definitely aligns with Martin. Like, Martin always invites her to poker games and they talk about sports. And so I feel like there's a little bit of Martin in her.
Yeah, she's smart. And Martin's smart, too. They're smart without being show-offy, or like they don't need to be the smartest person in the room, or they don't need to prove it.
Absolutely. I wanted to mention... okay, with Daphne, what's interesting to me is I think she is, you definitely, like, I see her as this very sort of innocent, like, character who, to me, is even further made into, put on a pedestal by a certain Niles. So I was, like, thinking about what is it about her that makes her so innocent? Because she also dates on the show. I would say she's definitely more reserved. Like, there's at a certain point, like pretty early on, there's an episode where she goes on a date with a guy, or three dates, and she comes back from it and she says, "We had a lovely time, but I have nothing more to say." And then her skirt was like tucked into her pantyhose.
Right.
So she'd had some fun. But I feel like the accent helps add some whimsy. I feel like it wouldn't be the same amount.
Yeah. Yeah, she's kooky. That's the descriptor for Daphne.
She's very kooky. There's also some characters that I see along the way now that I do think of Daphne now. One in particular. Well, also, do you ever watch the show Riverdale?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. So I'm not – I haven't seen season two because
– Don't bother.
It's not on Netflix. Oh, no. Oh, no.
No, it's great if you like it – if you like mob shows. It just turns into a mob show.
Oh, man.
Crazy.
Ooh, all right. Well, then fortunately, my only reference is season one. Immediately – pretty early on, like, I did not, I was not particularly familiar with Archie. I know the main characters. That's all I knew going into it.
Yeah,
but I was, like, instantly into what I believe people turned into a hashtag Dark Betty.
Yes.
And after I saw Dark Betty, and when she, like, I think it was, like, in the first or second episode, she, like, turns into this, like, alter ego, and she's got a wig on, and she's like, you know,
drowning guys
wearing high heels. And I was like, I immediately thought of Daphne.
Yes. Because
there, yeah. So part of me wonders if Daphne did end up becoming sort of like paving the way for more kooky, like dark, like, in fact, are you familiar? There's even comedians that I think of that I'm reminded of. Do you know this comedian named Mae Wilkerson?
I don't.
So she's in New York. She was actually my first guest on this show. Definitely
cool.
An episode worth listening to. But when I think of her, I think of a person who says, or like, okay, here's one more. Do you know Caitlin Broderick?
The name is really familiar. I don't know if I know her.
She wrote a book. It's called Dangerous Boobies.
Okay, great.
And she talked about breaking up with her breasts because she had I don't mean to sound ignorant, I don't know the name, but she essentially found she had this gene where it was likely she would get breast cancer.
Oh, okay.
So she ended up having a double mastectomy. But she, you know, she just had a baby. She, you know, she's really happy. But anyway, she wrote this amazing book. But I bring up these two comedians because the thing I like about Daphne, she's got this sing-songy quality to her voice, but she says often extremely dark things.
Yes.
Which is,
yes,
apparently a thing that I like. And I also wanted to, that made me think of your character in your show, Neurotica.
Oh, yeah.
That made me think 100%. Of Neurotica.
Thank you. Yeah, that's very much my my MO is I love doing like characters who are just really like blithe about saying things, like, because I think it's very disarming to people. I think Daphne will usually, a Daphne joke is like she'll say something kind of terrifying, then like kind of smile and leave the room, and a second later they'll be like, wait, what?
Yes.
And I always think that's great.
And you know, she's a bit psychic, as she references many, many times. I was curious, so there's two things in Roz's storyline. The first one that I thought of, which I think they considered pretty early on, which there's two guys that she gets together with in the show. The one that bothered me the most was she does get together with Bulldog.
Oh, you know what that is? That's the Anne and Tom from Parks and Rec.
I did not like the Anne and Tom combo.
No, where it's just this thing of like, I guess they just wanted to kind of see how these characters would pair off, and they're together a lot. But like, oh man, could she do so much better?
Yeah. Well, then there's, you know, the fact that she gets together, not for too long, but she does finally, like in season 9, sleep with Frasier.
Yes. And they held off on that for like a long time. Had I been an adult watching the entire time, I think I would have been very upset about that.
What I will say, and I'm glad that at least worked out this way, is they did sleep together, but they didn't end up together, which I was fine with. I was totally okay.
It's again sort of that thing of like, you have enough characters together, like there's really only so many things any sitcom can do.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense that they tried that. But yeah, she's too good for him. She's way too good for him.
I completely agree. So about halfway through the show, I think it might, I want to say it's episode 100. There's one of my favorite episodes is when she finds out she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So that episode was, I learned what French farce was recently, actually from somebody I follow on Twitter named Anthony Oliveira, who I did an episode of this podcast with. So in this episode, she finds out she might be pregnant at the beginning of the episode. And then Niles has a party for Halloween at his house where everyone dresses up as their favorite literary character.
Uh-huh.
So Roz shows up dressed as O from O.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And wow. She wears a leather corset, and then, you know, accidentally word gets out that she's pregnant. And then I think by the end of the episode, Niles thinks that Daphne is the one that's pregnant and proposes while he's drunk. So here's I say all of this because I'm curious. What did you think of just her storyline progressing that way, becoming pregnant? Because to me, this is how I interpreted it, because I, you know, spent a lot of time interpreting Frasier. I couldn't tell if this was just sort of a way of settling down her character as like a punishment almost for, you know, her dalliances, or was it even just more of like, you know, she might never, you know, settle down with a guy, but like that doesn't mean she can't start a family. So I'm curious if you interpreted that.
I like the single mom, like cool Murphy Brown element, interpretation quite a bit more, because I think there is, like, on TV shows, if a character has sex, it is very likely in a few episodes they will have a baby.
Sure.
It does feel somewhat punitive. I don't remember the episode in particular, but like, I can't imagine the reaction was just good for her.
No, no, it was very much like a lot of jokes at her expense. Like when Martin finds out she's pregnant, he goes, well, you know, she's been around the block a few times, so it's not that surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he says that.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something cool in her just deciding to keep it. And
do you remember what happens with, and it's, by the way, it's totally fine that you don't. I know
it's been such a long time
I only expect me to know everything.
To
refresh your memory, it turns out the father is a 20-year-old waiter at Cafe Nervosa.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So she so he feels like the right thing to do is propose to her. So he says he's gonna quit college and he's gonna, like, they're gonna get an apartment and they're gonna get married. And I think she absolutely made a really mature, great choice, which was, you know what? You don't need to be a part of this. Like, I'll be fine. And she kind of just goes off on her own.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a cool modern lady way to do it, realize like she's better off on her own.
Absolutely. I found a few links of like her best one-liners. There's also entire Reddit threads dedicated to like every episode. I mean, essentially, there's a thread for everything you've ever had a question about on the show Frasier.
I'm so excited to do a deep dive into the fan fiction and Reddit community about Frasier. I guess it's never occurred to me that this was a show that would have any of that, but of course every show is.
I think it probably, well, I know it helps. Granted, I'll never know the numbers, but I'm very curious about, you know, in terms of how Frasier fandom has grown, would any of as many of these things be available in terms of like threads without it being on Netflix? Because I think it definitely gave it a second life for sure. I wanted to bring up the reason the Madonna whore complex thing was interesting to me, and I wondered, and perhaps when I get the chance, hopefully in the near future, to interview an actual writer from the show, which I am working on, I don't want to jinx it. I'm very curious to ask, and I'll ask you for now, do you think it was intentional, the Madonna whore complex? Because if you didn't know, I didn't know for sure until I researched that Frasier and Niles, Frasier is a Freudian and Niles is an Jungian, if I'm pronouncing that right. Carl Jung, whatever. So part of me thinks it can't just be coincidental that they have these two female characters that are sort of almost compliments to each other. What do you think?
Wow. You know, I didn't know that about, I didn't remember that about their different, like, psychology styles. My boyfriend's in grad school studying psychology, so I've gotten, like, some, like, secondhand, like, information about those. But I didn't realize that that was part of their conflict, or I didn't remember it. But mm-hmm. I think, so I don't know if it's intentional that it's specifically a Madonna whore complex, or if it's just that the idea of characters, again, either in the case of Niles and Frasier, being sort of like reflections of each other, or being like polar opposites of each other.
Sure.
And like kind of needing that to balance out a sitcom, because it creates natural conflict.
Absolutely.
So to have characters who are treated by the show as opposites, and who sort of are viewed by the other characters as opposites, really helps set that up. I don't remember any significant like episodes where it's like just the two of them.
Yeah, I don't think there are.
I know they interact, but I don't know if they were like ever given like the Daphne and Roz spectacular episode or whatever.
Well, you know what I thought was... what I thought was nice, which is a thing that I just love about sitcoms, the ones that I personally really liked growing up, and this one in particular, where not necessarily realistic to life, but in my fantasy, you do start with these people at the beginning of a show who then become like a family, essentially.
Right.
So like Frasier and Daphne become friends. Like I don't think there's ever an episode where they're the stars and it's just the two of them, but like a friendship grows and you just start to see them hanging out together, watching movies together, going to a ball together. You know, Daphne or Roz is supposed to be one of Daphne's bridesmaids when she's engaged to Donnie. So they're definitely friends.
Yeah.
And they seem to, they seem to complement each other. I am curious, as a failed psychology major, I did
Are
like
you?
It. Oh, yeah. I was a psych major for 2 years.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
Yes, I've been to here's a fun plug for everyone out there. I'm doing a one-woman show at a storytelling festival in New York called, I think it's called Rise Up, Speak Up, called College Sucks in August, and it's about all 4 colleges that I attended.
Oh, my God.
That's right. 4 colleges.
Oh, I wish I could be there.
Me too.
That's amazing.
I'm really excited about it. But yes, before I got into film and TV as a major, I was a screenwriting major. I was a psych major for 2 years, and I was easily the most interesting thing that we got into was mental illness, and like I did an abnormal psych class. So here's what I'm curious about. Now that you are secondhand learning things from your boyfriend, is there anything in particular that you're like the most, or that you've learned about since he's now in school for it, that you've like learned about?
Well, I think like I also have just had, as you know, like a lot of mental health sort of experience over the last
couple
years. So it's something that I'm like definitely super interested in. I don't think I knew any of like the specific like philosophical elements of it. Like I knew more of the diagnostic stuff of it. I didn't really know like the here is what Freudian means. I just knew it was a thing you say, like, oh, that's very Freudian.
Sure. Because
you think it looks like a dick or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think I realized like what that actually is, and like that there are actual different schools of thought. One of the cool things is that he watches videos sometimes for class that where it's like you're watching like a real therapy session, and it's like therapists using different techniques.
Uh-huh.
And there was this one where it was like the first session was what I don't know what it's called, but it's I think what most people would think of as like therapy, which is just somebody like asking you questions and having you sort of come to your own conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
And one was like very confrontational. Like it's the guy trying to get the person angry, like to kind of get them to like get out whatever they're feeling. Like,
interesting.
I guess it didn't occur to me that there would be these different, like very radically different schools of like, this is the best way to deal with this issue.
Yeah.
Like, it just seemed to me like, of course you don't do the yelling at someone one, but like.
You know what? That makes me remember that when I was a psych major, it was definitely interesting to see all the different kinds of, therapy or different kinds of psychologies. For example, I don't think I'm using the right words, but like, you know, for somebody such as somebody who has OCD, for example, cognitive behavioral therapy is often very helpful. But then there's psychoanalytic, there's psychosomatic, maybe. So going back to like mental illness in the show, I would say Niles definitely had OCD, would you say?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just love these character actors who played grown men with OCD.
Absolutely. So actually, I did have a question about, that brings me to the show that you were in and wrote, right? Did you?
Yes.
You wrote Neurotica.
Yes, I did.
Can I still watch it? Can other people still watch it?
It's on IFC.com.
Great.
You can still watch it. Totally worth watching.
Would you do me a favor, because I don't want to misquote anything? What is the general premise of the
show? Oh, sure. Neurotica is about a dominatrix with OCD trying to save her small town dungeon in sort of a You've Got Mail situation.
Love it.
It's so silly. And hopefully it is not – hopefully you have not seen the last.
I hope not either. I am curious before we wrap up. So when you wrote Neurotica, did you have to do any research, or did you feel like you needed to do research, or did you solely just go based off of your own experiences with OCD? I'm curious.
For the OCD, like the character is 100% just me. Like I just use specifics from my own neuroses.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But he did talk to real dominatrices, because
yeah.
I think that's something that can get really easily misconstrued or misrepresented. And I wasn't out to judge anybody, and I wasn't out to sort of create more stereotypes or anything. I wanted to try and do the most honest, best version that I could.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think it's also, like, I was thinking about Frasier, and I hope I get to ask somebody who was involved in the show. I did feel like with Niles, I did feel like it was a pretty, given that, like, I am related to people that have OCD, a lot of the things that he did match up. Did you feel like from your own experiences, it was, like, relatable and realistic?
Yeah. I mean, I think I related to that character a lot, like, even when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. He's just, there is a, and I think this is just David Hyde Pierce too, but it's like, just like a second away from an anxiety attack feeling, which is very much what it feels like living in my brain. So I totally relate to that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And just like the sense of like wanting things to be in order and wanting them to be a certain way because it's just like too anxiety provoking otherwise.
Sure. Well, you give me hope that one day I will go back and further develop I wrote a screenplay when I was a screenwriting major. Did you ever see this movie or hear of it called War of the Roses?
I've heard of it. I've never watched it.
It is a film that I thoroughly enjoy. It's Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner, and they're getting divorced, and essentially it gets really ugly, and it just kind of turns into it's a comedy, but they equally truly hate each other and essentially trying to kill each other because they start fighting over the things that they're going to keep. So I wrote a screenplay inspired by that, but it was based upon my parents and the fact that they both have OCD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like they're friends, by the way, but they are divorced and they get along much better because of that. But I really wanted to do something about that, or even just figure out a way to do something about growing up with people that have OCD.
That's so interesting. I like that a lot.
I thought it was great what you did, and like with Neurotica, because I feel like it can so easily, when you're dealing with mental illness and you don't like know what you're talking about, it can very much become, I'm trying to think of the right word, but it doesn't feel like you're laughing with, but laughing at, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, like when the sort of the log line for the show like just came out or whatever, we're like, oh, great, another show that's going to, like, misunderstand OCD. And I got to be like, hey, Yeah. Like I sort of like came in with my credentials and I was like, hey, I'm like a person diagnosed with OCD and wrote this based on my own experience and don't expect it to represent everybody. I just wrote from the heart. So, and I think, and this was my philosophy with You Are Okay as well, which is just when you're telling mm-hmm. your own story, you kind of can't go wrong. Like, just tell your own story and make room for other people to tell theirs. And that's sort of all you can really do.
Absolutely. And actually, would you do me the favor again of, because I know about, the site that you started, but what is the site that you started?
Sure. It's called Project You Are Okay. And it's an online resource for teens and young adults who are struggling with mental illness. You can find it at Project You Are Okay, like the letters youareokay.org.
Yes, I
and Anita's on there.
I'm on there, and it's the best. And I'm glad it exists. And
thank you.
I wish it was something that was around when I was a teen, but I'm glad I'm around for it now. And who knows?
Thank you.
You know, if I have kids, hey, I want to get them into therapy early.
Same.
Just start, you know, from birth, yep. basically.
Like, listen, yeah. something's going to be up. Here you go.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't necessarily have to be from your home life, which is going to be perfect because right, I'm going to exactly. be a perfect mom and we're not going to have any issues. But, you know, the children at school, that's what I'm worried right. about.
Exactly. Same.
Yeah. I mean, that's a separate conversation. I feel like the only way one day if I have children – I'll be able to let go of the full, complete worry that they're going to get everything from my brain directly transferred into theirs. Oh. I'm gonna have to let that yeah. go.
Same.
We'll see if that
wow,
can happen.
Wow, that's very relatable.
Oh, yeah. But before – okay. Really, we are towards the end here. I am curious, and is there one character of – well, the Madonna whore complex. Would you say you favored – Roz or Daphne as a character over the other or both?
Ooh, I think the first time I watched it when I was growing up, probably Daphne, because she had a funny accent and she was sure. silly. Uh-huh. And it was all the sort of like easy to grasp jokes for a kid. And but I think as I grew up, I was like, Roz is a really cool lady. She's a cool, absolutely. Independent woman, and I have a lot of respect for her.
Perhaps a feminist, if you will.
Yes, that may say. Be exactly what it is.
Yes, and actually, if you want to go online, here's another thing you can read, which is an article called My Unlikely Feminist Hero, Roz Doyle from Frasier. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do want to read that.
Just to be further inspired. But before we go, is there – you obviously – hey, I always feel like every time I talk to you or you're somewhere in my feed – you're always doing something. So I am curious, is there anything that you want to plug, anything you're working on?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm working on a bunch, but the only thing I can really say at the moment is that you should watch Big Hero 6, which is premiering on Disney Channel at June 9th. I believe June 9th. It's a Saturday. But it's going to be part of a new Saturday morning block on Disney. And I'm very excited
awesome.
To be writing on that. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Jenny Jaffe.
Highly recommended following you on Twitter. Yes. And I assume at some point the show or maybe clips of it will be online somewhere after it comes out.
Yes, definitely. And check out Neurotica on IFC.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you don't even need a TV to check that out. So that's
awesome.
Yeah,
you can just check it out on I think the Disney app, you can also watch Big Hero 6.
Amazing.
If you download the Disney Go app.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
And always so good to talk to you, Anita.
Thank you. Thank you, Jenny Jaffe, for joining us. And I look forward to catching up on Neurotica. Mm-hmm. Until next time, good night, Seattle.